good morning, church. If you would stand up on your feet. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen? Amen.
Oh, my soul, bless his name, all that is.
You know, this morning, I sense that there are some people here that need some strength. That maybe you're walking through something that you've never walked through before. Maybe it's hard. But the Bible says, it's not just a song we sing. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And sometimes we got to encourage ourselves. Sometimes we got to do it ourselves and say, you know what? God is good to me. God's been faithful to me. He ain't ever left me. And even though I walk through this hard thing and I walk through something that I've never done before, He's right by my side. He's never left me and He never will. Amen? So if that's you, if you're struggling this morning with strength, the Bible specifically says the joy of the Lord is your strength, not happiness. What this song says, not a feeling, not an emotion. I'm talking joy from the inside. That's what builds that up. That's what builds your faith. So all across this place this morning, lift your hands. Even if you don't need more strength, more joy, we're gonna sing this again in a sign of surrender with our hands lifted. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Oh, sing that again, the joy.
The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord.
Oh God, we cry out for
cry out for your mercy. Oh God, we cry out for your grace. Oh God, we cry out, set us free. Oh God, we cry out once again.
Resurrected.
time I call your name, yes.
Where, oh death, is now your sting, and where, oh grave, your victory. Where, oh death, is now your sting, and where, oh grave, your victory. And where, oh death, is now your sting, and where, oh grave, your victory. Death things come alive, death things come alive, death things come alive in the name of Jesus. Death things come alive, death things come alive, death things come alive in the name of
Jesus. Death things come alive,
death things come alive,
death things come alive,
death things come alive, death things come alive in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I call you, I call you.
In the name of Jesus. So much power in the name of
Jesus.
So much healing in the name of
Jesus.
Your breakthroughs in the name of
Jesus.
All power in the name of
Jesus.
And I call you Jesus. I call you, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name,
within the hearts of my people, saith the Lord. For as I am stirring your spirit, even now this morning, I tell you today to begin to speak to the dry bones and the dry places in your life, saith the Lord. Those dreams and those things that you have placed on a shelf and thought, oh, it's too late. Those things are out of reach. Those things are not things that I can even achieve or accomplish. I say unto you today to begin to speak to the dry bones, saith the Lord. For have I not commanded you to walk by faith and not by sight? Because when we walk by faith, We are seeing those things that are unseen, saith the Lord. And I ask you today, do you trust me? Do you trust me to bring forth my promises? Do you trust me to bring forth those things that I said that I would do, saith the Lord? For I am doing a stirring. I am doing an awakening within you, saith the Lord. I say, lift up your heads, my people. Lift up your heads, for I am here, saith the Lord. And as I speak to you even now, as I speak to you even the still small hours of the night, I say unto thee that those things that you have laid aside and those things that you have put to rest are going to begin to awaken, saith the Lord.
I call you Jesus, I call you healer, risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you Savior, worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name, dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. What was dead comes alive. Of Jesus, no other name but the name of Jesus. Than here in your love, here in your love. Oh yes, oh there's no place I'd rather be. Oh Jesus, there's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love. Here in your love, no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be. There's no place I would rather be than here in your love. Here in your love, to set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. To set a fire. I would rather be than here in your love, here in your love. No place I would come on, tell him in this place this morning.
No place I would rather be.
Oh, there's no place I would rather be.
Here in your love.
Oh, Jesus.
No place I would rather be.
Oh, there's no place.
No place I would rather be.
lit a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, God. More, I want more, I want more, I want more, I want more. So pour it out, come on, sing this out. I want more,
more,
I want more, come on, we want more. Pour that your spirit forth. Come and fill us up in this place. Oh, we want more. I want more. Pour with you, Jesus. Support it out.
Glad to have you. There's a QR code behind me, and there's one on the back of the pew. If you would just scan that and fill out a little bit of information, we won't pester you and we won't bother you. We just want to connect with you. Also, too, we have a prayer team that's going to be walking around with prayer cards. They got two cards. They got a prayer card and a praise card. What's that mean? It means if you have a need, if you have a prayer request that you are believing God for, and you want people to join their faith with you, simply take one of those cards and fill it out. And simply put your request on there, and then you can give it out to the Welcome Center at the end of service. We would love to pray with you. Those prayer cards get delivered to our pastors each week, and they pray over them. And we also pray over them together as a church in our prayer first service as well. Next, we're gonna move into tithe and offering. And it is a joy to give, is it not? Yup, it's a joy to give. And I want to read this scripture to you today from Matthew. And it says this. It says, "Do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I love that scripture. I love that the Lord is challenging us to not simply store up here on earth and have the most stuff and have the most things here on earth, because it doesn't matter. One day when we all stand before the Lord, what matters is the treasures we've stored up in heaven. Amen. Amen. And I often hear Pastor Nicole say in Growth Track, she says, "Show me your debit account and that will show me where your heart is." And that's so true. What our heart's connected to, we give towards. So today when you give generously, check your heart first. Make sure that your heart is not giving to get things, to get stuff, but we're giving to store up treasures in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's pray over your tithe and offering. Father, today I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in this house today, to worship with our family, God, to give today with our family, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that as we give today, Father, you bless it, God. Bless it to each person that gives, but God, I speak favor upon their lives. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And as you stand up and bring your offerings down unto the Lord today, we have an update video for you from Kenya, from their trip. And then we also got church news, so take a look at the screens.
Prepare their path, Father God, that every person that they come in contact with will be radically changed for your glory, Father God.
We'd like to wish you all a very warm welcome to Night Movie and Kenya. Please remain seated with your seatbelt securely fastened.
I want to tell you that Jesus is here tonight, and he is here to confirm his word with miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, many of you here tonight will be healed, you will be set free and delivered, because Jesus is here right now in this place. Beloved, I want to tell you tonight that Jesus loves you so much. Yep. He sees your pain. He wants to bless you tonight. I get better. Jesus has a plan for your life.
Yesu ana mpango wa maisha yako.
And the devil has a plan for your life.
Na shetani ana mpango kwa maisha yako.
You have the choice tonight.
Wewe unao chaguo la kufanya usiku wa leo.
To confess with your mouth.
Ukatiri kwa kinywa chako.
The Lord Jesus.
Bwana Yesu.
And believe in your heart.
Na ukaamini moyoni mwako.
That God raised him from the dead.
Ya kuwa Mungu alimfufua kutoka kwa wafu.
And you will be saved.
Nawe utaokolewa.
When you do that,
utakapofanya hivyo,
if you make that choice,
ufanyapo maamuzi hayo,
you will instantly,
papo hapo,
I said instantly,
nasema mara tu,
receive all of these gifts from God.
Utapokea vipawa hivi vyote kutoka kwa Mungu.
Amen.
Amina.
Come on, amen.
Pastor Randy, this man came tonight. He has been death since birth. He is 37 years old today, and God has healed him. Both ears are open. He is well.
Ebu sikia.
I'm not praising because I'm worthy.
Yeah. Yes.
Come on, somebody!
Ebu shangilia Yesu. Pe Yesu makofi mazuri.
Amen.
Alikuwa siki lakini mwenia.
Pastor Randy, this woman came tonight. She's had a tumor in her stomach for 7 years. About the size of a grapefruit. Tonight, the tumor's disappeared. She is whole.
Huyu dada alikuja akiwa na uvimbe tumboni mwake. Ameponywa, amekombolewa, imeondoka. Inua mikono juu, shangilia Yesu.
Yes!
Pastor Randy, this precious little child came tonight. She's had pain in her throat and her upper chest. She said tonight, with a prayer of faith was prayed, the pain instantly left, and she is well.
Come on, all pain is gone.
It's gone.
It's all
gone.
Wow. No pain?
No pain.
Come on, Jesus loves our watoto.
Oh, shangilia Yesu.
Jesus loves our watoto.
Yesu anapenda watoto. Shangilia Bwana Yesu pamoja.
Pastor Randy, this man came tonight. He's been deaf in his right ear for 6 months. He said with a prayer of faith was prayed, his ear instantly popped open. He could hear.
So it just popped open?
Ilifunguka tu mara moja.
Ilifunguka mara moja.
Yes, yes.
Pastor Randy, this woman came. Her right knee was swollen about 5 times the size it should be. Tonight she can hardly walk, but Jesus has healed her. All pain is gone. The swelling is gone. She is whole.
Shangilia Yesu mkisema amina.
Amen, mama. Hallelujah.
Amina, mama. Hallelujah.
Wow, she's strong.
Ana nguvu.
Hallelujah. If you want Jesus in your life tonight, I want you to come right up here. He's here.
Yes, you can.
So close your eyes. And repeat this prayer. Say, Father, in Jesus' name. I come before you humbly tonight. As a sinner. On the way to hell. But I ask you now, Jesus.
Hey, church family, welcome to Church News. My name is Caleb.
And I'm Ava.
And we're so happy that you chose to be with us today. Ava, what do we have coming up?
Join us for our annual fun-filled ice cream social on Wednesday, August 13th, following our 7 p.m. service. There will be free ice cream with tons of toppings so you can make your dream ice cream sundae. This will be a time to connect and enjoy a yummy treat with your church family. So bring a friend, your appetite, and your sweet tooth, and we cannot wait to see you there.
Hey everyone, today's spotlight comes to you from our recent trip in Nairobi, Kenya, Africa, where we had our big crusade. It reminds me of a story in the Bible where Peter and John were walking to church one day, and by Gate Beautiful, there was a lame man there who was lame from birth. He got carried there every day. Well, the miracle that I want to talk about came from the crusade. It was a 37-year-old man who wasn't lame, but he was deaf from birth, 37 years. Came to the crusade, heard the message, got prayed for, and after the prayer of faith, God opened up both of his ears instantly, and he could hear clearly. Just like the lame man, when they picked him up in the name of Jesus, he was healed totally instantly. This man came up on stage, gave his testimony, could hear out of both ears instantly. God is a good God. He heals, and if he heals somebody from Africa, well, he'll heal you as well today.
Here at Only Believe, we believe that strong marriages are the backbone of healthy families, and healthy families are the backbone of a healthy church. This is the heart behind our small group, Marriage Is Us. It's a small group designed specifically for couples of all ages looking for ways to strengthen their marriage. Marriage Is Us meets on the second Sunday of every month at 9 a.m. in the loft. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can visit the Welcome Center in the lobby.
Hey church family, Pastor Tim here. I want to talk to you really quickly about Serve Week signups. Here's the deal. We need to know how many people are doing each project so we know how much we can actually do with each project. Our goal this year is that 200 people sign up to serve through Serve Week. So I need you to sign up to serve through Serve Week. We got a lot of different projects happening. I'm positive there's one that you will love and want to be a part of. So make sure you're taking a look at all the Serve Week projects. You can do that through the Church Center app, go into small groups. All that information will be there. There's a QR code. You can just scan the QR code. It'll take you to where they're all at. Go to the Welcome Center in the lobby and ask for help. We will make sure you know what projects are happening so you can pick the right one for you. Listen, everyone can make a difference. Let's make a difference together this year. Thank you so much. Can't wait to serve with you. Hey, church family, Pastor Tim here, and I'm here with Emily, and she's gonna share with you what she's doing for her Serve Week project.
Yes, Tim, we're going to do nails at the elderly home. We're gonna be painting them and socializing with them and spending quality time with them.
Yes, and I love this because it's about more than just painting some nails. What's the heart behind why you want to do this in the first place?
Makes the little ladies feel beautiful, make them feel special, and they get to share their stories from the past, which are so amazing. And you also get to share Jesus.
And I love it because it shows them they're still important and we still care about them and we know they're there. And so if you'd love to serve on this project with Emily, you can do that by signing up on the QR code that's on the screen right now, or you can go out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and let them know you want to sign up to serve on the Serve Week project with Emily. They'll help you take care of that. Thanks so much, church. Get out there and serve.
And then we have Growth Track. Growth Track happens every first Sunday of each month right after church service, and there's lunch and childcare provided. Growth Track is a time for you to learn about the history and the vision of Only Believe, learn about your God-given gifts and how you can use them to make a difference, and it gives you the opportunity to say yes to becoming a member of Only Believe Church. If you would like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen, or you can head on out to the Welcome Center in the lobby and get you signed up there. We cannot wait to walk this journey with you.
If you've decided to follow Jesus, then your next step is water baptism. Baptism is not just a symbol, but it is a public declaration of your commitment to follow Jesus. It's an outward expression of an inward change. This is why the Bible tells us that it's through baptism that we are participating in the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. If you are a follower of Jesus and have not been baptized, we highly encourage you to do so. For more information, or if you'd like to sign up, you can scan the QR code on the screen or head out to the Welcome Center and our team will help you out there.
And as always, for information on anything and everything we have going on here at Only Believe, you can head on out to that Welcome Center in the lobby and they will answer all of your questions. Now, let's lean in and prepare our hearts for what the Lord wants to speak to us today in the message.
Did you have a good Freedom Weekend? Come on, thank God for the men and women who serve that made our freedom possible. Amen? I know I'm thankful for it. And it wasn't for me to serve like that, but I'm going to serve in a different way. Amen? Before we get started today, I want to just pray, and we want to invite God into what we're going to do before we share the word. Amen? Father, we just come before you right now in the name of Jesus. And God, we just come before you with humble hearts today. Father, thank you. Thank you for the price that you've paid for our freedom spiritually. Father, we just ask that you would bless the men and women that have served in our nation, in this great country that we live in. Father, we ask that you would, those who need healing in their bodies and their minds, Father, that you would help them and heal them. Father, for those of us that have sons and daughters, fathers, mothers abroad, Father, fighting for this freedom, Father, that you would protect them and keep them safe, Father, from harm's way. And Father, I just ask God that the words that we speak today, God, that we believe, I believe you've given me a message, but God, wreck it if you choose. Holy Spirit, take over and do what only you can do, Father, that our hearts would be changed forever from this day forth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So you heard during our announcements that Serve Week is coming in our church. This is something huge here because we believe that every single person has a specific gifting that only you can make a difference with. But we've provided these different groups of sign up so that you can get involved. And anyone and everyone, there's a place for everyone to join and work together for the good of our communities. They're not just done here in Bakken, they're done abroad. Our church reaches multiple communities around. We come from 60 counties. I think it is, if we look at our membership, there's a lot of distance between us. So we're trying to make things that you as a church family can do. So please, please, please use your gifting on this one week where we can impact our local communities with your giftings. We've just chose a few topics that we think are gonna be helpful to our communities, but there's something for everyone. Something for everyone. So please do that if you can. So we have been discovering the six basic doctrines in church. How many of you have enjoyed or learned something by what we've been doing? Okay, good, good. So it's important that we revisit these basic doctrines. Doesn't mean simple, doesn't mean they're not necessary. It means they're elementary. It means that if you and I are going to mature in our faith in Christ, then we have to know these six basic things. And we have to build our lives on top of these elementary truths. You don't get to go on to calculus if you don't know general math. For some of us, we never got to calculus. Just gonna be honest with you. I got general math down, but calculus was not my thing. So I knew how to get out before the getting was good. I took general math over and over. And it seems that my life's all right because of general math. We're going to start in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 1 and 2 today, with our basic scripture here, our staple. It says, so let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with going back. It just means that the goal is to move on from these basic truths. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, placing our faith in God. You don't need further instruction about baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Now, the last of the doctrine that we were going to be doing today is eternal judgment. However, in lieu of judgment, I think that you and I, in order to understand eternal judgment, we need to look at judgment and judgment alone first. So we're going to finish up some timelines of when this happens in life, how we're resurrected, because we learned about resurrection of the dead. There's not one resurrection, there's multiple resurrections. And we discussed a little bit of that, but we're going to revisit the timeline next week. But the word judgment has been stolen by the world. How many of you have heard the statement, "Don't judge me," right? So they've made it in a negative connotation that judging someone or discerning the way someone is doing something is wrong. When actually the word tells us that it probably isn't wrong if you do it to yourself. It's wrong when you begin to pass the judgments that are on you onto someone else. But scripture has been misused. It's been used to mislead people into a certain place, even at the point of some of our pulpits today. Still, it's incorrect. Judgment is supposed to be good. It's not supposed to be judgmental. Did you hear that? Judgment is good, but being judgmental is wrong. What the world's really saying is, don't be judgmental about the way I'm living my life, because you get to do your life the way you want, and I get to do my life the way I want. That's what they're really saying when they say, don't judge me. The problem is that you're going to learn next week, judgment is unavoidable. And you would rather do it here on this earth right now than in the end. Because it's going to be a whole lot worse then. You can tell them, but if they don't hear it, you can't make them believe. Let's define what the word judgment means. It's an act of discernment or a separation of good and evil, right and wrong, flesh and spirit, or God and Satan. There's multiple stories in the Bible where we hear about in the end time that the Lord is going to divide the sheep from the goats. And let me be honest with you, all of those things that he's dealing with all thought they were sheep. But he was dividing out of the sheep and the goats. So that tells me that we can look like a sheep, but we can have the attitude of a goat. We can have the actions of a goat. We can operate and not live in the love of God or the love of Christ towards others. And therefore, you and I are going to be judged according to that if you and I don't judge ourselves first. So let's begin the study of our scripture today by hooking the resurrection of the dead and judgment. Let's go to 1 Peter, the first chapter, 3-7. We do have a little reading. Anyone that knows me, I like to read the word because the word is what we all came to hear, not Pastor Nicole speak. Amen? Okay. It says, "All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his grace and mercy that we have been born again." So obviously he's speaking to Christians. This is Peter. "Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay." This is the resurrection of the dead. We know that Christ was crucified for our sins. But we know that on the third day he was resurrected, and that he was the sign of the first fruit of a great harvest. And if Christ was resurrected as the first fruit, then there must be something coming after the first. And that means you and I, the rapture of the church, being taken up in a gleaning or a harvest of the most of it. And then there's the leftovers, we're going to talk about that next week, which is the Jews that don't yet believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But they too will be resurrected after the great tribulation. Just a note to self. Don't try to go after the great tribulation. You want to get in the first harvest. You want to get in that basket the first time. That's why we're doing what we're doing now, so that we can learn how to get there in the first load, as they would say. It says, and through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation. In other words, your faith is allowing you to live a life that is sin-free because Christ took over the power of sin and death. And by faith, we are hanging on to that inheritance. We're really walking with Christ, using our faith to believe everything that this word says, so we can arrive and true salvation, not just a washing away of sin, but a salvation and an escape from this world where we are only sojourners. We are only passing through this life. Do you agree with that? God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So be truly glad. This is wonderful joy ahead, even though you may have to endure many trials for a little while. Amazing how God sees time and we see time. Just for a little while, yet 52 plus years is a long time. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Now, I understand that some people might have a struggle with that testing part. You know, like, well, God doesn't test us. That's not true. Faith tested by fire is not because God doesn't know what your faith looks like. God knows all. He sees all. He's aware of all. But he does it so that you can see what your faith looks like. You realize when you start to go through a trial and things start to get a little shaky, what is that proof of? It's proof that you're starting to doubt what you thought you believed. See, this is how it happens to all of us. You start out really strong in faith. Nope, I don't receive that according to whatever scripture you're standing on. And then as time goes on, well, why isn't God doing what he said he would do now? Why do I have to wait? Why isn't it happening like I thought it would happen? Well, I didn't think this and I didn't think that. And so what happens is what you feel was stable starts to move back and forth. But really what it is it's meant to drive you deeper into the Word of God, that you will anchor yourself into his Word and you'll identify that by faith you are being refined. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He knows where you're at. He sees the journey you're going through. But this is not the time to get faint of heart. This is not the time to throw in the towel. This is the time to dig into his word. This is the time to steady yourself. Throw down an anchor. Throw down another anchor. Get rooted in the word of God and understand what God's love is for you. You'll make it through. Let's go on down to verse 17. Same chapter. It says, and remember that the heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. Really big line right there. So you must live in reverent fear of him during the time as foreigners in this land. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. In other words, the life you're living on this earth is just empty. It's void of anything in it and purpose except outside of what God's word gives you purpose for. We're going to inherit a life of eternal salvation, not just a life where things are earthly and good. And the ransom he paid was not of mere gold and silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But he has now revealed him to you in these last days. Church, it's not an option that judgment is coming to you and I. The question is, how do we live our life with reverent fear, knowing that we are only passing through this life and we don't get stuck in the life that we live here and completely consumed about this earthly life that we live that is just here one day and gone the next, which is a simple vapor passing by? How do we live a life like that? Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter. I've got all of my tabs marked this week so that I'm quicker. In the 27th and 28th verse, it says, "And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ died once and for all time, as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will not come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation for those who eagerly await him." We, being the church, because we have faith in Christ and in the resurrection of the dead, and we believe he's coming back, now by faith we eagerly wait on him to come. But he's not coming to go to the cross again. He's not coming to give his life on Calvary again. He already did that. The cross is a finished work for you and I. My sins have been forgiven. Yes, my now sins and any future sin that I do, but not that I needn't repent for what I've done in my future. If I make a mistake, I quickly live a life of repentance and run back to the cross and ask God for forgiveness, knowing that when he comes again, it's to bring me into the completeness of salvation, meaning I'm saving you from this world, and no longer do you cry, no longer do you fret, no longer do you worry, no longer do you have lack, no longer are you sick and decaying in your body. Did you get that? Everyone looking for the fountain of youth? We know where it's at. The fountain of youth is in heaven. Live according to the scripture and you'll get there. I don't know what my new heavenly body looks like, but I'm telling you, it don't have a wrinkle here named husband. It don't have the gray hairs in my head named children. What it has is Jesus and eternal life. And I'm telling you, I have a feeling that for all of you women out there, Eve looked pretty fine, and so are we. All you men, you're going to look fine too, but you know, the pressure's on the woman. Just be honest. Judgment is coming. So how do we prepare? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, 31 and 32. Judgment is so, oh my gosh, it's everywhere in the Bible. We could preach for 4 weeks just on the scriptures alone in judgment. It's crazy. But I love it because by the end of today, you're going to believe that judgment's good. 31, verse 11, 31 and 32. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. This is in the verses before talking about communion. If you take it in a place where you are sinful and you're unworthy, yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with this world. See, you and I are meant to look at ourselves, to examine ourselves. Put yourself under a microscope. Have you ever heard that people say, well, I just feel like I'm always being watched and I'm under a microscope all the time and I can't do nothing right and I can't do nothing wrong? Yeah, well, put yourself under the microscope first and maybe you'll get a chance to clean up all that other stuff that everyone's looking at. See, we think that people look at us and don't see all of our flaws. when really there are judgments being made all over this church today about me. You've already judged the way I look. You've judged whether Pastor Nicole has on a new outfit or an old. I'll be honest with you, this was found at TJ Maxx yesterday, $24.99. I had a good day. It was a good scope. I cleaned up in TJ Maxx, all with my daughter-in-law driving the baby around, and I could hear her talking in the tire store, so I'm Superman changing my clothes, trying to get it all done before the baby cries. You've all made judgments about today, right now, and what's happening. But don't you realize you already identify, if there's a stain on my shirt, you know it. If there's an earring that's missing, you know it. Because you can see what I appear to be on the outside. But see, God's not looking at my outside appearance. God's looking on the inside of who I am. And you know, we really, really try hard to hide who we are to each other. But sometimes, you know, on our trip to Africa, praise the Lord for all those salvations. But in our trip to Africa, I'm going to tell you what. You get yourself in an airport and they tell you that you're not getting on your plane and that it's delayed and you've been in the air for 18 hours already. They start pressing you like an orange juice machine. And if you put an orange in that machine, the only thing that should come out is the juice of an orange. When you put a Christian under pressure and they start twisting it down, I'm telling you, I was about ready to go up to that booth and just slam my hand on and say, get me out of this airport. But that wouldn't be a Christian being squeezed out. So I very calmly just wrapped myself up in a blanket on the floor and just let everyone else deal with it. And I just went to sleep. Because I was about to rip someone up. Pressure comes to see what you're made of. What will you do when the pressure is twisted? Will you live like Christ then? Or will you just live like Christ when everyone's watching? Because here's the problem. There's always the one that matters watching. I'm not going to go there, Lord. Nope. You know what? There is someone present with you when you watch what you watch on your computer. There was someone present with you when you say things. I'm just going to be real with you. I have a whole dialogue in my mind. Even when I'm talking to other people and the Holy Spirit's convicting me and going, nope, Jesus, don't think like that. Nope, you're not allowed to think like that. You know what? Those thoughts are known by the Spirit. The Spirit is aware of what you're thinking, even though it don't come out your mouth and you're using self-control. That's great. Don't let it come out. That's a big challenge for me. That's why I have quiet wrote on my hand. Sometimes my mouth gets ahead of my brain, and that's not where God needs me to be. He's trying to develop self-control in my life. There's things about you that are on the inside of your heart that only God knows, and you've done a really good job at covering it all up. Don't think you've got him spoofed. You don't. He sees you and he knows you. And you ready for this? He still loves you. In spite of all my weakness, in spite of the ugly thoughts I think, in spite of the ugly actions that sometimes I do, he loves me and says, come back home. We'll do this again and I'll help you more this time. You'll listen more this time, right? Hebrews 4. Let's go to Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. This is a really good one. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to dividing the soul, which is the heart and the mind of man, and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. Do you realize that this is why, as pastors, we put pressure on you to read the word of God? I'm going to be honest with you. I put pressure on you to know God's word. Why? Because I know it's necessary for you to understand what he needs you to be and do. The word itself, it cuts through what you think about yourself. You think really good thoughts about yourself. You think, no, God's perfectly fine with that part of my life. And then you read the word, and the word says, nope, that's your soul that's telling you you're okay. This is what the Spirit of the Lord says, and He wants you to deal with that ugly place. You don't get to live like that no more. Why? Because it's not that He just requires a change, but it's that the Holy Spirit brings the change. It's not that you go to the library and get your self-help book. This is the self-help book. Amen. Do you get that? Amen. See, it's when you read it, you're able to use it as a measuring stick. But here's what I looked for every ruler I could. And Pastor Dave, I'm not going to tell how this ruler got broke, but I happen to know I took this from your maintenance room. I'll just leave that to you. And I'm sure there's a bunch of you that in our lifetime have been whooped with one of these sticks. I can remember being in typing class, and my little teacher, she'd walk around, she'd smack our knuckles, and I thought, dear Lord. And she did it big like this because she could get all the way down the rows. Because we'd drop our hands when we were typing and they had to be high and pry, and she'd smack them. I'm like, this is abuse, but not in today's world. Yeah, anyways, some of us use this to measure our lives. Some of us know, let's just say every inch is a scripture. Some of us know 12 scriptures to live by. That's the 10 commandments plus two others that we know are wrong. Good observation, right? Some of us live by this little mini one that, you know, you carry with you so it's always ready and handy. And it goes out to, like, I don't know, like 5 feet maybe. Not enough to even measure a couch. You know, for if you've got a family of three, ain't three people fitting on this couch, at least with their feet up in our house, right? And then you've got this one. Now, I got this one out of David's handy-dandy maintenance cabinet. His grandkids got me. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to be measuring our life with. See, He wants us to read the word so that the word begins to define inches in our life. It begins to identify struggle places. And I want to tell you, if you think you've come to the end of your tape measure, there's always one bigger. God never, ever stops maturing the Christian. In fact, it says in the Bible that today, we look through a glass dimly, dimly, no matter how clear you think that glass is. But there's a day coming that when we see Christ, we will see fully everything. That means that right now, it doesn't even matter if you go all the way to 290. David, I don't want to break your tape measure because I've done that before and it won't go back in. 300 inches, God still says there's more. As long as you are living and breathing on this life, there is always another inch in God that you could go. Now, why am I saying that? I'm not saying that to get you into a works mentality. I'm not saying that. I'm not telling you that you have to read the Bible to work your way to heaven. What I'm telling you is that if you don't read the word, you will not know by what measuring stick you are going to be judged by in the end. Amen. Right? And I'm going to tell you, this is really bad news for all of you. The Bible says that for him to know what's right and not do it, it's sin. So I'm telling you in advance, and this makes all of you accountable now. You have to read the Bible because you're going to be responsible for every word. You're going to be responsible for every jot and every tittle. What does that mean? Every comma, every crossing of a T, and every dotting of an I, you and I are responsible for. But here's the thing. The Holy Spirit is going to help us fulfill that. You don't have to do it on your own. It's the work of grace for you and I. Someone say, thank you for grace. Thank you for grace. This measuring tape is what teaches us what we are going to be judged for and what we should look at our own lives for. Head on over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, 5 and 6. It says, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children. Oh, this is going to be good. We're going to hear really good words. My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline. Ooh. And don't give up when he corrects you. Ooh, what's good about that? What's encouraging about being disciplined and corrected? For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. Now, let's be real. None of you have been beaten by the Lord. Has anyone been beaten with a cane stick from the Lord? Okay, because if so, I was going to ask you to go to another church. Anyways, just making sure where you're all sitting, making sure you know what it means. It means that it's tutorage or educational instruction to be disciplined and punished by God. That's what it means. It means that it's a good thing. But somehow we think that if we're disciplined by God, that he's disappointed in us. When, I'm going to be real with you, I have children and my kids have done a lot of bad things. Listen, one of my children, this is no lie, and I tell you this with 6 minutes left to go, that's not a good thing. Lincoln Waters, and I'm just going to name his name because everyone knows which child it is. The middle child. Lincoln Waters can find a gun and aim at a target and it never make the right place. He can find a bow and arrow, aim on a target, and the arrow will find something else. In literally one summer, what is that, 12 weeks? That's a lot. Maybe 10 weeks. He shot his bow and arrow at a target. It hit the driveway and skewed over to the neighbor's yard who was mowing his lawn and sliced his leg open. And the neighbor comes to my door bleeding and says, this is what your child did. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. What should we do? He's like, it's okay. I'm going to Band-Aid it up. I don't think it's that deep that it needs stitches. You would think we would learn that we shouldn't put a target in the front yard. Yet again, not being the parent of watching what my children should do, I should have been a little bit more out there. He gets the BB gun. He's pumping it. Now, I think he was about 13 at this time, so the more pumps, the more power that BB has. I fight, he's out there pumping it. I mean, him and Quentin. If Quentin could be on his arm, he was pushing it down so they could get one more pump. They've set pop cans up, and they're going through the shoot the pop can, not thinking that it's going to go through the pop can to its final destination. I met the neighbors, the same neighbor that got cut in the leg. And I'm talking to his wife. I'm trying to play nice. I'm trying to think, like, please don't call the cops on me. Like, this is really bad. And all of a sudden, Cheryl and I are talking. And sorry, Cheryl, I should probably name you publicly. And Cheryl and I are talking, and all of a sudden, I hear the gun. You know, it's just like this air, the shoot of air goes. I hear it hit the tin, and then it's done. And then about 3 seconds delayed, it felt like eternity, I heard it hit just like a little. Here, let me. That was it. And then I heard, yeah, because the BB went and hit a telephone pole on the other side. And you know how every telephone pole has a little metal plate? It hit the metal plate, ricocheted off, and hit their van window in the back. Who's getting ready to go on vacation? And the entire window starts cracking because it's tempered glass and falls in the back of the van. With Cheryl standing right there, and I'm like, Cheryl, I'm so sorry. You would think that was enough, but no. The next week, I have a babysitter at my house. Normal babysitter's not there. I call one of the Mitchell girls, amazing babysitters. They show up at my house. I get a call at work. It's like, Pastor Nicole at that time, the police are in our driveway. I said, what? The police are here at our house. And I said, my house? Are you at my home? Did you take my kids somewhere? She's like, no, it's at our house. I'm like, oh Lord, what did the kids do? She said, well, Lincoln was shooting a bow and arrow. And he had just gotten his bow restretched. And so they put it like, I don't know what the poundage was, but they increased it like 5 pounds. So Lincoln had to really pull back hard to get it pulled back. But when he did, his release strap broke. And the arrow goes way up in the air over to the next cul-de-sac over the woods and lands straight in the bumper of a woman's car that's carrying in her groceries, and it lands in front of her. Could have just sliced right down through the middle of her head. She calls the police. She's like, some lunatic is out here shooting arrows at me. Now listen. There are many more. There are many more. That's just one summer. So next time you see Lincoln, give him a hard time. Razz him up. What's my point? My point is, disappointed in Lincoln? No. He's trying to learn his way. He's trying to forage for food on his own. He's trying to kill rabbits in the woods. He's trying to prove that he's a good shot. Like, right, this isn't what he was trying to do. This is the way God looks at you and I's life. And when we appropriately judge our life, when God corrects us, we didn't beat Lincoln. We did make him pay for the bumper. We did ask if we could pay for the back of the van window. I mean, I think that summer cost us $1,600 in one day. It cost Lincoln $1,600. We made him pay for it. He had to work. He had to mow lawns. He had to work his way on there. But we also moved the target to the backyard. And now he loses arrows in the river. I say that because God's correction is not wrong. It's because he loves you. He knows you're going to make mistakes. He doesn't expect you to be perfect. That's why he came and was perfect, so that you and I can now live by righteousness, by faith through him. Jesus has already done this for you and I. But this is what happens when you and I start to judge our lives and he starts to correct us. We start running from God because we think that everyone else knows what he's correcting. They probably don't. They probably don't. If you were here on Saturday prayer, you heard me talk about motive. God's been dealing with me since January about my motives in what I do. Did you say that because I wanted you to say that? Or did you say that because you truly believe what you said? Did you go and do what you did because it's required? Did you go and do what you did because I asked you to? See, God knows what my heart looks like. And as long as I'm giving it to him on a platter and saying, Lord, here am I. Judge me. Judge me now, so that when the end comes, I won't be judged in a bad way. Guys, judgment is coming. And here's the problem. There's no going back once final judgment is present. As a believer, you and I's first priority is to judge ourselves. I'm going to give you a scripture. This is for you to read as homework because I didn't get to it. Matthew, the 7th chapter, 1-5. Here's what I want to warn you about. When you start to lay your life before God and you allow him to judge your motive and your actions and what you're doing, it can be very easily thought that because he's telling me this, I need to tell everyone else that this is God's standard for their life. Here's what I'm going to tell you. It's not your job to judge other people, especially not the world. It is your job to discern those that are in the faith, to discern that they are not a wolf and that they're good. And the way you discern them or judge them, separate them from, is that you're looking at their fruits. So if you're listening to someone on YouTube that just goes off on people and starts demeaning people, if you don't believe like him, you're demeaned. And he says, well, you can just get out of my church. That's anger. That's hate. That's not kindness. That's not the love of God. And you should unfollow them. Because you will know them. You will know Christians by their love. By their love, by the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, kindness, meekness, gentleness, long-suffering, self-control. I missed one. Temperance. No, I don't know what they are. Anyways, I know what they are, but I don't. I didn't know what order said them in. My point is, that's how you judge Christians. But what happens, and if you see your brother in error, go to him. Not on Facebook, tell him he's wrong. Not go to him because I don't like the way you're doing this and it affects me in a negative way. That's not why we go to someone that's in error. But what happens is we have our own consciences. And when God looks at my heart, he knows Nicole's weaknesses. But my weaknesses are not Bree's weaknesses. They're different. We're solely different. And though there's not going to be any comparing on Judgment Day, God's not going to have a respecter of persons. He is going to judge Bree on what he's told her. And he's going to judge me on what he's told me. Amen. Many of you have heard that I gave up soap operas years ago. The reason I gave up soap operas is not because I believe soap operas are wrong. I'm going to be honest with you. They're probably less pornographic than any Netflix movie you'll ever watch. And that's the truth. Let that be said. VidAngel, by the way, for all of you that would like a clean filter to watch your movies on, VidAngel's a great idea. It's $9.99 a month. There's a plug. That's going to be taken off YouTube. My point is, he asked me to give it up. Why? Because God looked in my heart and said, one day, Nicole's going to be tested to believe that that's what real marriage looks like. And real marriage don't look like a soap opera. Real marriage don't look like Hallmark. Real marriage looks like work. And that's what God didn't want me to understand and to think that in a movie you could watch where no one ever goes to the restroom and all of life is perfect, they always have enough money for everything they need. God was like, yeah, that's not going to be her. I want her to know that I provide. I'm the reason that she exists. She's my purpose. She's my plan. So you have a conscience that God is calling you to obey. And when he does that, it's not your job to put your conscience on me. I'm not telling you can't watch Hallmark. I'm not telling you can't watch Hallmark. If that's what you think, I don't think that's going to send you to hell. But for me, I'm not going to watch them. You see? All right. Stand to your feet this morning. We're going to pray. Church, I want to be sure that I go to heaven. I want to be sure that I'm right, that I'm on the right side when it comes time for God to separate what he's going to separate. I don't want to be found with these little places in my life that are dirty. If you know me, I'm very black and white in one way, and then I'm very loving and accepting in another way. But I understand what it means to be right with God. And I'm going to be honest with you. I have mercy and grace for those who are not. But our time as a church is coming down. And judgment is more close and more imminent than it's ever been before. And I don't want us to be caught, as my father used to say, with our pants down. I don't want to be caught in a place that I would be exposed. I don't want all of my weaknesses to be exposed to God when I had what I needed to measure what he was going to judge, and I had the Holy Spirit as my guide. But I simply just didn't take the time to ask him. Search me, oh God. Look at the inward parts of my heart and see if there's anything unclean in me, God. Let my thoughts be pure. Let my words be pure. I don't want to be caught in a place where I'm not ready to meet him. This is a very foundational truth. A foundational truth. But our perception of judgment in a negative way is not what God wants. He wants us to see him as his help. As the one who corrects us and chastens us lovingly and pushes us back to the main course. Some of us have gotten into places of sin. Hear me out. You might not even be a new Christian. You've been an older Christian for a really long time, and you just kind of took your foot off the gas and you've fallen back into a lane where you once were. You know you don't belong there. You don't want to be there. But you won't put your foot back on the gas because you know it's going to require more. Let me remind you, We are here today and gone tomorrow. None of us know when our last day is. And in that lane, we don't belong. But getting in God's lane is where we need to be. Every single night. When I was younger, I used to pray, God, forgive me of my sins just in case you come back tonight. I just want to be right to go to heaven. Every single night, my mom, you pray tonight. Don't you dare be left behind. Like she was this, she just, sure enough, God was going to come and snatch us like thieves in the night, and I wasn't going to be ready. But now that I'm older, I pray, God, did what I do today bring me closer to you, or did it make me drift further from you? Because I don't worry about sinful nature every single day anymore. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't smoke. And I'm going to be real, I don't get around a lot of people that do because that's where sin lies. And I'm not going in that den. It's not that I wouldn't minister to you if you needed it. I'm just not sitting in that place. But did what I do bring me closer or further away from you? Because if I did nothing in my day with Christ, then I'm just floating in the life of river and I'm floating away from his purpose for my life. Let's all bow our heads today and close our eyes. And if you're a believer, this prayer is for you. And I'm just going to ask that you repeat after me because I'm going to lead you in a prayer of repentance and the Holy Spirit's going to begin to show you some dross. Dross, that's where you heat up the gold and what's negative in the gold. The impurities comes to the top and the gold person just scrapes it off the top easily. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I haven't lived my life according to your way. I love you. Holy Spirit, I need you. Help me. I want to be ready for judgment. Reveal to me, God, anything that's wrong in my life. I just heard a church member say, give me a clean heart, oh God. What is that? God sees the motive in the heart of everyone here. In Jesus' name I pray. Now, when God shows you something this week, you have the responsibility to follow through. You know, I would suggest that if you have a struggle, I'll use myself. If you have a struggle with your mouth, then you need to search mouth in the Bible and look up every single scripture about your mouth, what it can get you and what it cannot get you. Because there's blessing and cursing in your mouth. You can have good or you can have evil. You can see positive or you can see negative, but you will live by the fruit of your mouth. Whatever comes out, you're going to live by it and you're going to eat it. So you think your life's miserable? Your life's miserable, and you're gonna have a miserable life, and you're gonna eat it, and you're gonna enjoy that fruit because you fed it to yourself. Right. Now, as in every service, we give an altar call for the unsaved. You picked a hard service to come to on judgment if this is your first time here. But let this be an example that our church wants to be right with God. We want to do our best. And I'm going to be honest, not everyone here is perfect. We're not. We're walking along this life with Christ. But what I do know is that there's a Holy Spirit, and it's here to convict, and it's here to draw you to Jesus. And if in this message today, at any time, you felt that small tug on your heart, you felt a drawing to the Lord that said, I need you to come back home. I know that your mother led you when you were younger to Jesus, but you've drifted away and you need to come back home and make a commitment to church and to him, then now's your time. We're not here to judge you. We're here to love you and bring you into the family and say, this is a place where you get to walk your salvation out with Christ. We're going to do our best to teach you the ways of the Lord every single week. And families sometimes have struggles and families hurt each other. I'm not promising you're not going to be hurt and someone's not going to say something maybe not so nice to you. We're all working it out together. But where there's family, there's forgiveness. And where there's forgiveness, there's community. So if you're in the house today and you would like to accept Christ as your personal Savior today, just slip your hand up. Just slip your hand up. We've all been pretty vulnerable here today. I know I've thrown my trash out. If you're here and you say, I need Jesus, Pastor Nicole, I need him today more than ever, then I want to be there with you. Prayer team's walking around. Okay. In writing the message this morning, I took some time in my office before, and I heard the Lord speak to me two things. He said that someone here today is dealing with being honest about what you make and reporting it. I don't know what that is. Someone's receiving money that you think you can't report to pay tax on. God's reminding you that He is Jehovah Jireh, your ultimate provider, and that you needn't hide anything from the government because you can't hide it from God. He's just testing to give it, seeing, will you give it to me? Will you allow God to do what God can do in your life? And then there's someone else here that God's been asking you to pull away from a certain friend group that you've been hanging out with. And he said, it's not that they're not good people. It's that your season with them has ended and it's time to move on. If that's you, either of those, then I just ask that you receive that word of the Lord. Let me know at the end of service. But I believe God spoke them clearly when I was praying this morning for the service today. And I want you to know that God sees you. He knows where you are and He sees what you're going through. You gotta trust Him. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus and we thank you, God, that you've led us today in a place where we can get closer to you, to know you, to genuinely know our God. Father, as we go through this next week, turn our lenses into a view that we can see what you see about us. Father, reveal those places in our hearts that you've been trying to deal with, Father, that you've been trying to get to. Father, we open up and we say, search me, O God. And let us live this life of continual judging of ourselves, lest we be judged. Father, bring us into connection with somebody this week that we could share our testimony with, that we could share the gospel of Christ with. God, that we could make a difference in this world. Father, for it's not enough that it's for our family and us four and no more. But God, that we would bring our light, the gospel, to the world. And let our world be right outside of our front door. Let us do your work and your will until we meet again, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Greet your brothers and sisters as you go. I'm going to be doing growth track in room 306 today if you'd like to meet me there. You want to become a member of the church. I'd love to do that with you. And in the meantime, have a great rest of your 4th of July holiday. Enjoy yourselves. Don't forget the prayer team is here. If you need prayer in your body, we are here to pray with you. Have a good day. Be blessed.